You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
We sometimes refer to English speakers dropping the G in a word like singing. But the fact is that most English speakers dropped the G hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
That's what they say. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth. Joining us now over Skype is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hello, Ann.
Hello.
I've been thinking about this, and this is something that I actually do quite a bit in my own speech. You'll notice that just there when I said I've been thinking, and at the beginning of the segment when I said you're listening, I didn't do it. But that's because I'm more self-conscious when I'm on the air. I'm afraid that people might judge me. Am I silly for thinking that?
You are not. And I want to say a couple things. The first is that almost all English speakers use both forms. They will say things like thinking and thinkin'. That's an important thing to remember. The other thing is that both of those forms go back a long way in the history of English, and people should be less judgy. In fact, almost all English speakers dropped the G hundreds of years ago. And what do I mean by that? We're going to get to make some sounds together, Rebecca. Are you ready?
I would like nothing more than that.
Excellent. All right. We're going to make nasal sounds. This is where, as English speakers, we are closing off the airflow in our mouth. The air is going to come through our nose, and we're going to make sounds. So if you close your lips and you just make kind of a humming noise, you get an M, what we think of as an M. Now, if you take your tongue and you run it up along the top of your mouth, you'll find that there's a ridge behind your top teeth. It's called the alveolar ridge. And if you put your tongue there and make a nasal sound, you get what we would think of as an N. And now there's one more. We're going to take our tongue. Well, you're going to take your tongue. I'll take mine. And we're going to take it to the back of our mouth at the top and make a nasal sound. And if you do that, you get I know. Sounds like a really funny sound to make. But in fact, we have this sound in English. If you think about the words S-I-N versus S-I-N-G, you have sin, where you have that N sound, and then you have sing. And we think there's a G at the end of that. But if you listen to me, and I'm going to draw out that last sound, sing, there's no G. It is that nasal at the back where my tongue is in the back of my mouth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can feel it. Sing.
So now some speakers will still have that G. You will hear singa. That is true in varieties of English around the world. But for most speakers, we have sing. Interestingly, for almost all speakers, the G will sometimes come back. If we take an adjective like long, for most of us, there's no G at the end of that, long. But if we add an ER to make it comparative, you'll hear the G come back, longer.
Yeah, because otherwise it would be longer, and I don't think I hear people saying that.
Right. But you will hear people say singer without a G in the middle, and you can hear it in the difference between singer and finger. Now, again, there are speakers who will have singer, but many speakers have singer. So let's return to those ing forms where we have two, running and runnin'. And the second one is often transcribed with a final in apostrophe. The runnin' form is associated with many things. It's associated with informality, being more colloquial. It's sometimes associated with masculinity, with lower socioeconomic status. And all of this is really important to remember when we think about something like how quotes get transcribed in newspapers. Remember, all of us, or almost all of us, use both forms when we're speaking, and we may alternate. So the question for a newspaper or an editor is, do you transcribe it with a final ing or an in? If someone says, yeah, I've been thinking about that, do you transcribe that as thinking, in apostrophe, or thinking? And editors are not entirely consistent on that. So if you're reading and you see a quote transcribed with a final in apostrophe, I would ask everyone to catch themselves and think, what's happening here? Has bias crept in that the editors have decided to transcribe that as IN rather than ING, because often editors will transcribe it as ING. Why here are they transcribing it as IN?
You know, I'm not sure that that was on my radar before, but it definitely is now. Thanks for giving us all something to think about, Anne. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.